Well, bless the Lord. It's good to see everyone here today. I have a very simple message for you. Aren't you glad when I go simple? I want to speak about six I wills from Jesus. Six I wills from Jesus. Now, he said I will more than six times, but I want to highlight six of them. And may the Lord bless us today. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can go to your word, but we thank you especially for your Holy Spirit who moves us towards your word. Lord, if it was up to us, we would never read it. We thank you for the hunger you put within us. If it weren't for you, Lord, none of us would be gathered here today. But we thank you for the grace and the mercy that you've displayed to us. So bless this word to our hearts, Lord, and glorify the name of Jesus. We pray for those listening in sermon audio and those that are on YouTube and various other places, whatever, wherever. Lord, we'd ask that you'd be pleased to open up hearts. Lord, be merciful to sinners. Only you can save. In Jesus' name. Six I wills from Jesus. You know when a man or a woman says, I will. Doesn't always mean I will. We're good at not keeping our word, aren't we? I mean, we're good at breaking our word. And sometimes we just don't follow through. Sometimes we forget. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I try not to ever forget. But don't ever lend me money, because I'll not know that I owe you anything. I forget. But here's the good side to that. If I lend you money, I'll forget. I'll get this from you next week. No, you won't. You'll forget all about it. So it works both ways with me. But like you think about Peter. Peter, he says, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny you. Remember he said that? What did the big leg do? He went off and he denied the Lord three times. I will not. Man's I will isn't always I will. But here's good news. Anytime Jesus said I will, you can mark it down. He will. He does. He never breaks his word. He's never late with his word. He's never forgetful with his word. He never is deceitful with his word. They are his wills. I wills are reliable. They're different. And everything he promised to do, he is able and willing to accomplish. And I cannot find any scripture where he said, I will do something, and he didn't do it. It wasn't done. And so I want to commend to you one more time the Lord Jesus Christ. This might be the last time I stand in this pulpit. It may be. And this may be the last time you get to hear the message of truth from the gospel. Do I have inside information about that? No, I'm just telling you, hey, look, none of us are guaranteed eternal life. I mean, in the sense of just living forever. The only way you have eternal life is in Christ. But we don't know what the future holds. And so while I have this chance, I'm going to recommend Jesus to you. I'm going to commend Jesus to you. And I'm going to tell you this. You can rely on him to keep his word. And the first I will that I want to draw your attention to this morning is the simple I will of salvation. And that is found in John 6, verse 37. All that the Father give to me shall come to me, and him that comes to me, watch this, him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, if we wanted to go theologically on this, we could look at the first part, all that the Father gives to me shall come to me. And so we come to the Father, or we come to Christ because we're given by the Father. But here's the thing. Let's just put that aside. If you come to Christ, he will not
cast you out. He will not refuse you. This is the I will of salvation. It doesn't say here, he that comes to me, if he is worthy, I will no wise cast out. He that comes to me and is religious, I will in no wise cast out. It doesn't say anything like that. It doesn't say anything about your worth. Let me tell you this. Salvation is exclusively for the unworthy. Now, before you get too excited about that, if you say you're saved, that means you know you're unworthy. Listen, the word grace, saved by grace, grace implies unworthiness. If we're saved by grace, we're not worthy to be saved. Oh, that is good news. Jesus came not to save good people. He came not to save the upright people. He came not to save the just people. He came to save sinners. That's good news. Do you know why? I'm a sinner. It's good news for sinners, for people like me. And if you're a sinner, it's good news for you. He came to save people who have gone astray. He came to save people who have fallen short of the glory of God. Listen. This I will go straight to the heart. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I looked up this word, no wise. I wanted to see what the Greek was saying. Here's what it says. No wise simply means, I will never, certainly not at all, by no means, in no case, cast you out. Is that not enough to make you want to jump the pews? Well, we don't have any pews. Jump the chairs. He will in no case, in no wise, cast you out. Why? Because I'm deserving. No. I've come to him. How do you come to him? By simple faith. Trust in Christ. Can you not rest on that? Say, look, I don't care what you've done up to this point. I don't care about your past. I don't care how wicked you've been in your past. I don't care if you have murdered people in your past. I don't care what you've done. Jesus says, if you'll come to him, he will in no wise, not ever, cast you out. In no case, cast you out. Come just as you are. Take him at his word. Did he say he would save you? Yes, he said he would save you. Take him at his word. Jesus saves sinners. That's his occupation. That's why he left heaven. That's why he came into this world. That's why he left his heavenly throne. He came to save sinners. Luke 19 and verse 10 says it like this. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come to punish us. He came to save us, that through him we would be saved. Somebody might have said an amen there. Amen. Yeah. Some years ago, there was a gospel meeting being held in Chicago. And one fellow, a young fellow, he was a reckless young man, a reprobate, prodigal young man, and he came into the meeting and the Spirit of God began to take a hold of him. Afterwards, after the meeting, he stayed behind. He wanted to talk to the preacher. And he explained that he would like to be saved, but he wasn't good enough. He was a pretty wild guy. He knew he had started to come under a bit of conviction. And so he thought, I'm not good enough to be saved. So the preacher quoted him Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And then he looked at the young man and he said, do you believe that Jesus said that? And he thought, well, he said, I suppose he did. You suppose he did? No, I'm asking you, do you believe that scripture, that that's actually what Jesus said? He says, well, I hope so. Well, no, not hope so. Do you believe
that he who comes to Christ will in no wise be cast out. Do you believe that if you'll throw yourself on his mercy, he will not cast you out? The young man says, well, gosh, that's just too simple. That's too easy. So it's got to be more complicated than that. And eventually he and the preacher talked for about an hour, and the Lord broke through in the young man to where he was able to come to faith and trust in Christ alone. And so, as he's about to leave, the preacher says, now listen, you've received Christ as your Savior tonight, but don't think you're going to get out of the devil's territory without trouble. I'll guarantee you what's going to happen to you, says the preacher, is tomorrow morning you're going to wake up and the devil's going to look at you and he's going to say, that was all emotion. That was all make-believe. You just imagined you were accepted by God. So what would I do then, said the young man? Well, don't give the devil or the demons or whatever it is that comes against you, don't give them your opinion on things. Fight them with the word of God. Tell them John 6:37. Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. And let the word of God do your fighting. Don't you argue and just say, him who comes to me, I will in no way cast out. And so, however, the devil didn't wait till the morning. He came after the young man when he was walking home. Early in the morning, the devil assailed him. And so he said, well, what was the preacher saying? They said, what did he say? John 6:37. Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. I am accepted because Jesus said he'd accept me. And there was a whisper in his ear. Look, it wasn't a physical whisper, but you guys, anybody who's walked with the Lord, know that there's a war that goes on. And the whisper said, that's all well and good, quoting me the scripture about him not casting me out, But how do you know that Jesus even said that? How do you know that he said it? I mean, the translators could have made a mistake. And Jesus didn't say that. He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. So anyway, he wrestles on and he comes to a conclusion. He says, well, I'm going to believe that anyway. I'm going to believe that he who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. And when I get to heaven, if it isn't true, if I find out that that scripture isn't true, I'll just tell the Lord, hey, I didn't make the mistake. It was the translators who made it. I'm going to trust in the Lord. He who comes to me. Listen, have you come to Christ? Are you a sinner? You know that you have sinned and failed God. Why don't you put your trust in Christ? He doesn't ask you to do any big thing. He doesn't ask you to go on a pilgrimage and your hands and knees and climb up a mountain. He doesn't ask you to beat yourself. He says, come to me. Come to me. He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. So have you trusted him? What a great invitation to come to Jesus. You know, when the great leaders of state, the presidents, the princes, they decide to hold a royal banquet and they have invitations issued. They issue their invitations to the great and mighty people in the community. But when Jesus came, he worked with the vilest and the lowest of society. That's actually what hurts us, because we don't come to the place where we see ourselves as the vilest, as sinners. We think, no, I'm pretty good. Well, if you think you're pretty good, you'll never be a candidate for Jesus. Never. Because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And the principal charge that his enemies made against Jesus was, this man receives sinners and he eats with them. So let me ask you, have you trusted him as your Savior? But there's another I will that I want to draw your attention to. It's the I will of cleansing. We find that in Luke 5.
in verses 12 to 13. Luke 5, it's there that we read of a leper, and he came to the Lord Jesus. It came to pass, he was in a certain city. Behold, a man full of leprosy, seeing Jesus, he fell on his face, besought him, saying, Lord, if you will, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And he put forth his hand and he touched him and said, I will. Who said that? Jesus said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Listen to me. Sin is like a leprosy. It takes a hold of you. When sin is due, when you get deep enough into sin, it will make you feel filthy. Filthy. It really will. However, when you know the Lord has forgiven your sins, you'll feel like you've been cleaned, literally cleaned. I remember before I was saved, I spent many weekends. We used to call it on the tear. Go out on the tear for a weekend. Go out on a Friday night and you wouldn't be seen again till Sunday. Go out on the tear down to a place called Kelly's in Portrush. And there were bands, there were pubs, it was hotel, it was everything. And it never seemed to close. And I'd be heading out there, you know, and had a crowd of fellas that I hung out with. And the Lord was starting to get a hold of me. And I remember this particular Sunday afternoon, I was listening to all the stories that were being told. And I got this one and I did that. And I listened. The more I listened, the more vile I began to feel. The more I was exposed to all the sin and debauchery that had gone on, I felt filthy. And I remember I went home and I felt so filthy by having been around all that stuff. I went and I took a shower. But that couldn't help. That didn't help. Sin will do that to you. Sin will make you feel filthy, especially when the Lord's starting to work on you. What can wash away your sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus alone can remove the filth of sin. And listen, sometimes we just have to say, Lord, I am full of sin. But you can make me clean. Oh, I pray that, here's the thing, today nobody's sinner. Nobody is a sinner. Of course they are, but they don't know that they're a sinner. They don't know. People say, well, and we're being told there's no such a thing as sin. There's no such a thing as right. There's no such a thing as wrong. It's whatever you think is right. It's whatever you think is wrong. And that is sheer and utter nonsense. It's what God says is right. It's what God says is wrong. And he says, all have sinned and fallen short of my glory. Oh, if we come to Christ, he cleans us. He removes that filth of sin. As he brings us to that cross. And so, before there can be any forgiveness, you've got to reckon with yourself as a sinner. And if we think that we have very little to forgive, we are in bad shape, very bad shape. On the other hand, if we have ever felt black with our sins, and filthy with our sins, we're in good shape. Because then we go to the cross and the Holy Spirit opens our eyes. He draws us to the cross and we see that that man upon the cross died for sinners. That's what he was doing there. He died for sinners. If you say, well, I'm not a sinner, then you're saying Jesus didn't need to die. Only a man who's been humbled by his sin can apply for salvation, or a woman. There's an old-time preacher called George Whitefield. You have heard me preach or mention him many times. And when he wasn't on the road, he had what was called Whitefield's Tabernacle. And I think it was in Moorfields in London. Certainly it was London. He was preaching in his tabernacle, and there's a great crowds there. And as he was preaching in He in the middle of his sermon cried out, he says, "The Lord Jesus will save even the devil's castaways. Even people are too bad for the devil. Jesus will save them." There happened to be two old female wretches standing outside on the street, and they heard Whitfield's amazing. This man Whitfield had a voice. He could. This was measured, by the way, by Benjamin Franklin. His voice could be heard for 3 miles as he preached. 3 miles. And so they are out in the street, and they heard him say that the Lord would save even the devil's castaways. And they looked at each other, and man, they said, "Well, that's us. We're the devil's castaways." And so they stood and they listened to the rest of the sermon, and they embraced the Lord Jesus as their salvation. Hope was born in them again. And one of them wrote a little note and sent it to be given to George Whitefield. And later that day, Whitefield was eating. It was a table full of guests. And someone present said, "Mr. Whitefield, if you don't mind me saying, but don't you think you went a little far today when you said that the Lord would save the devil's castaways?" So Whitefield took the note from his pocket and said, "Would you read this?" And read it aloud. And the note said this: "Mr. Whitefield, two of us, two poor lost women, stood outside your tabernacle today and heard you say that the Lord would save the devil's castaways. We seized upon that as our last hope, and now we write to tell you that we rejoice now in believing him. And from this hour forward, we endeavor to serve him because he has done so much for us." The devil's castaways. That's why you never give up working with these dear souls around the town. Frank, have you prayed for him? Saints, have you prayed for him? Jerry Grace, have you prayed for him? Why could we not reach the worst in the town? Oh, I love this old hymn. "Until I saw the blood, 'twas hell my soul was fearing, and dark and dreary in my eyes the future was appearing. While conscience told its tale of sin and caused the weight of woe within. But when I saw the blood and looked at him who shed it, my right to peace was seen at once, and I with transport read it. I found myself to God brought nigh, and victory became my cry. My joy was in the blood, the news of which it told me, that spotless as the Lamb of God, my Father could behold me. And all my boast is in his name. Through him this great salvation came." Listen, anyone who trusts in Christ today comes to know of the great exchange. You know what he'll do? He'll exchange your spiritual death for spiritual life, your spiritual malady for spiritual health. He takes away our sin. He takes away the punishment due for our sin. He cleanses the conscience. Wouldn't it be nice to walk out of here and have a cleansed conscience? You say, that would be wonderful. Well, that's what salvation will do. He says, "I will be thou made clean." But we've got to move on. There's a third "I will." And I've got to start speeding this up. Mark 1:17, the "I will" of service. Now, Jesus said unto them, now who's about to speak here? Is this, and Pastor McKee said unto them, and that narky guy said unto them, the guy from the north of Ireland said unto them, no. Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me." And another one of these verses, it says, "Follow me. And I will make you to become fishers of men. Come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Wow. Listen to me. When Jesus redeems us, and the Holy Spirit motivates us to come after Christ, to follow Him, Jesus says, I will make you to become fishers of men. Oh, I like the one you said about I will not cast you out. I like the one you said about I will cleanse. I don't like this one. Now, wait a minute. There's no law here. There's no law. You have to become a fisher of men. It's more profound than that. He says, I will make you a fisher of men. I will. And that simply means we must face a challenge individually. Are you a part of helping to bring people to Christ? I'm talking to believers here. I'm talking to those who are going to take this communion. You're taking this communion and you say, I'm a follower of the Lamb. My sins are forgiven. Have you ever thought about being a part of helping to bring someone to Christ? I will, he said, make you to become fisher of men. Now notice he says to become a fisher of men. He doesn't say you'll get there all at once, but we learn. As we follow him, we follow and we become workers for Jesus Christ. The disciples followed Jesus Christ and they turned the world upside down. They turned the world on its head. And our business is to lift up Jesus. We might not all be preachers, but we can lift up Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And so we simply, how do I do that? Well, we simply tell about Jesus. He was crucified. He was buried. He rose again. He ascended into heaven. Follow me, and I will make you into a fisher of men. Hey, back in the days of the Wild West, anybody here like the cowboy movies? I love cowboy movies. Amen. Back in the days of the Wild West, yeah, have you seen the stagecoaches? This fellow needed to get in a stagecoach. And he went to buy a ticket, and he said, you know, there's first-class tickets, second-class tickets, third-class tickets. So he went and he looked at the coach inside, and there's no compartments. There's just one compartment. He says, well, where's the first and second class? Well, we're all in here. We all sit in here together. He says, well, that's a no-brainer. So he goes and he buys a third-class ticket. What? I mean, why buy first class? You're going to be sitting there with everybody else. So anyway, off they go. You see, the stagecoach, oh, it's half an hour out of Dodge or wherever it was, Tucson, Arizona. And they come to a big hill. And the stagecoach stops. The driver, he says, all right, first class passengers, you stay inside, stay seated. Second class passengers, you get out and walk. Third class passengers, get behind the stagecoach and push. But I want to tell you something. There's no first, second, third class passengers in the church of God. We're all first class. Do you know why? Because we've been bought and purchased by the same blood. Jesus, the King of Heaven, purchased us. How is this? I mean, He has made us royalty. He has made us heirs with Himself. Joint heirs with Christ. We're all first class. But there's too many folks in the church are first class stagecoach passengers. You think they can sit there and let everybody else do the work? It's all right, the pastor will do it. No, get out. Let's start pushing together. Let's start working together. Let's move this forward together. Let's win souls together. Let's pray together. Let's evangelize together. We have such an opportunity in front of us. But we all need to be involved. We all need to be involved. Follow me, says Jesus. I will make you to become fishers of men. Every one of us is called to be a worker for Christ. You say, I get nervous talking to people. Could you pray for people to be saved? Could you pray for people for their hearts to be opened? That's involvement. Follow me and I will make you to become a fisher of men. And if there is no evidence or desire, then you must ask a question. Are you a follower of the Lamb? He said, follow me. Come after me. I will make you to become fishers of men. Brothers and sisters, we've got to throw the gospel net out and draw the gospel net in. You can be useful. You can be useful. All of us can be useful. So you don't know that maybe you lead a child to Christ. You say, yeah, but that's not much. Oh, what do you mean that's not much? That's the future. Joni, 100 children. That's the future of India. And only one gets saved. Might be a young boy who could become the next Martin Luther of India. You don't know. It's tremendous. Follow me. I will make you to become fishers of men. Fishers of men. Before I leave this point, many of us here have Facebook accounts. Let me challenge you. As a follower of the Lord, post a scripture once a week about Jesus. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. / Jesus. Whatever. Once a week. Start fishing. Listen, following leads to fishing. Mark that down. Following leads to fishing. There's all kinds of ways that the Lord will show you. But he says, follow me and I'll make you to become. Follow me.
Don't love the mystery. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about our ministry, go to milesmckee.com. Our church website is thegracechurch.ie. We'd love to hear from you. Miles's email is miles@thegracechurch.ie. If you'd like to support the work we are doing in Ireland and other parts of the world, you can click on the donate link on milesmckee.com. Don't forget to check out more sermons at sermonaudio.com. Until next time, slán agus beannacht libh.